And remember that Jeremiah was the prophet that bridged the gap between pre-captivity and post-captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. And that passage you looked at this morning would have been right at the end of the captivity when Israel was able to come back and rebuild the temple and the city. And so in the midst of that, God, now that they're in captivity here by Jeremiah 33, and God is comforting them in the midst of their chastisement and reminding them that he's still there and still cares. And of course, that's true for us as well. So notice verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So great and mighty things. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for the privilege to come together on a Sunday evening and share testimonies, sing praises, and Lord, to open your word. We pray that now we would hear from you and that we would listen and allow you to work in our lives. We pray you'd be glorified and lifted up in this time. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So God here is basing this great promise on his person. Did you notice he said there in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof." So he's saying, because by virtue of the fact that I am the creator, therefore I am the all-powerful God, and because my name is Jehovah, remember when we see all caps L-O-R-D, the Hebrew word is Jehovah, it says, based on my person and my power, I make this promise unto you. And we can, as God's children, sink our teeth into that. Amen? That our God can do anything. We saw that last week in chapter 32. Look at it, 32:27 of Jeremiah, where God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" God made it clear there that there is nothing too hard. That's a rhetorical question, that God can do anything. And so he's saying, by virtue of the fact that he is the maker and he is Jehovah, call. So first of all, the maker. We all know God is the creator. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, please, and verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, where God reminds us that by virtue of the fact that he is the creator, he is powerful. Isaiah 40, verse 28, please, where the Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding." God here is speaking of himself. And he refers to himself as the everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth. So by virtue of the fact that God is a creator, but also by virtue of the fact that he is Jehovah. Now we talked a bit about this last week. That word Jehovah means the self-sustaining one, that he doesn't need anybody's help. That he is who he is, that he is Jehovah. If you go to Psalm 125, verse 1, God encourages us in the truth that in Jehovah, in the Lord, we have someone that we can trust with anything and everything. Notice Psalm 125, if you would, in verse 1. The Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." They that trust in the Lord. They that trust in Jehovah. And then if you go to Isaiah 26 and verse 4, again, God explaining to us that there is power in his person. Notice Isaiah 26, verse 4. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Everlasting strength. So God says, I'm the maker, I'm the creator, and I am Jehovah. I am the self-existent one, the self-powerful one. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody's power. I have all the power. I am Jehovah. And I've always been, and I always will be, as we saw, he's everlasting. He says, by virtue of my person and my power, I make a promise to you. And this is a promise that we can all say, this is for me too. Amen? So let's walk through the promise together. Number one, call unto me. Call unto me. You know, James made a very simple statement in James chapter 4. He said, you have not because you ask not. It has to start with us calling. It has to start with us saying, I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to call out to God about every issue, about every concern, every trial, every loved one. I'm going to call. And as James said, if we don't ask, we're definitely not going to receive. So it has to start with us calling unto the Lord. Now, David expounded upon that in Psalm 145, if you turn there, please. Because God makes it clear that when we do call out to Him, He wants that to be in truth. Notice Psalm 145, verse 18, please. Psalm 145 and verse 18. Look at this important verse. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. What does that mean? It means in honesty. It means that when we come to God on our knees, we're calling out to Him, which He wants us to do. He told us to do it, and it brings Him glory. We must do it with a certain attitude. Now, we looked at this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, where the Bible talked about reverence and godly fear. But we also must have this attitude of honesty. That when we come to God, we need to be honest about where we are in our relationship with Him. Any sin that's in our life, we need to deal with it. We can't come to God in dishonesty. Now, God already knows our hearts. God doesn't ask us to confess so that we can spring it on Him and He's surprised. He asks us to confess because He wants us to acknowledge our sin so that He can forgive it. Not because He doesn't already know about it. It's for us. It's not for Him. And we call unto God. We don't call unto God for Him. We call unto God for us, right? But when we do spend time with God, God enjoys that. He created us for fellowship. And so it starts off with the willingness to say, I will ask, I will call, I will come to God, I will spend time with Him. And the Bible says to do that whenever you can. If you go to Isaiah 55, He encourages us again to call, because the world, they can't claim this verse. They can't claim Jeremiah 33:3. An unsaved person cannot. Because God is not their father. Their father's the devil. Notice Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. He is not near to an unsaved person for answered prayers. The only prayer that He will answer for an unsaved person, of course, is the prayer of salvation. The prayer to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. But because we have the blood, because we are in Christ, because our sins have been forgiven, we can come to God at any time, any place, call unto me. And that's where the promise begins. We got to be willing to ask, willing to bring it all to Him. And then this great promise, verse 3, and I will answer thee. That just sounds simple, but it's beautiful, isn't it? And I will answer thee. God loves us. God is a great Father. Jesus talked about how earthly fathers give their children things. And He said, would an earthly father, if his son asked for one thing, will it give him a scorpion? Of course not. That's not the way we are. We love our children. We want to be a blessing to our children. When they ask us for things, we want to give those to them. Sometimes we can't because they're being disobedient, but we want to. Our hearts yearn to. God is the same. God is a good Father. He loves us. He wants to bless us. And by the way, He has the capacity to bless us infinitely because of the virtue, the fact that He's God. And so this is good. I will answer thee. Praise the Lord. Go to Psalm 65:2, another great verse that you can claim. Put in your arsenal, if you will, about prayer. Psalm 65, verse 2. Look what it says. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Thou that hearest prayer. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. And then another verse in Proverbs chapter 15, please, verse 8. Go to Proverbs 15, verse 8. Very interesting statement about our prayers. When you think about God and He's the Creator and He's infinitely powerful, infinitely wise, it's amazing that He even cares about us at all when you think about it. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And yet, look at Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Now, we often quote Psalm 37:4, if we delight in the Lord, thy light thyself also in the Lord, He shall give you the desires of thine heart. But this is something God delights in, the prayer of the upright. Isn't that beautiful? God delights when we're right with Him, and we come to Him and we call unto Him. The Bible says He delights in our prayers. And that's why He tells us here in this promise, I will answer thee. Jesus came to the earth and began to preach and said what? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said the same thing. John 14, it says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 21, it says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? So God is telling us, call, and I will answer. Call, and I will answer. Now, of course, we know sin hinders our prayer lives. We all understand that. Your iniquities are separated between you and your God. But again, the prayer of the upright. So if we know that our sins are dealt with, we know that we're in sweet fellowship with the Lord, He says, call, I will answer. Look at verse 3 again, Jeremiah 33. And show thee, what? Tiny things. That's how most Christians pray. We talked about this last Sunday night. I'll show thee some little things. That's not what it says, is it? Great and mighty things. Talked about it last week, but God wants us to pray big. It's not an insult to God to ask big. As a matter of fact, I believe it brings Him glory. Because it's a way of saying, Lord, I know how big you are. I know how powerful you are. And you told me to ask, so I'm asking. Great and mighty things. Back to Jeremiah 32 again. Look over in verse 17. Jeremiah 32:17. O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And then, of course, in verse 27, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me. That's God speaking. So God says to call and He will answer and show us great and mighty things. So why don't we see more Christians being blessed with great and mighty things? And I'm not talking about necessarily physical things. We have to pray in His will. We all understand that. We can't say, Lord, I need 3 Ferraris and God's going to answer because He knows that's bad for us. He's a good Father. He's going to be good for us and do the right thing. But He wants to bless us with great and mighty things. And I quoted it last week, the Psalm 81:10. If you want to memorize a short little verse, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Pray big. Don't be afraid. Because God is telling us, God is giving us a promise here. Call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. That's pretty exciting. Great and mighty things. But He goes on to say, Jeremiah 33:3, which thou knowest not. So He took it a step further now. He says, if you will cry unto me, I am going to hear you, I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to give you great and mighty things. But sometimes they're going to be so great and mighty, they're going to be bigger than you ask. That's pretty exciting. Which thou knowest not? So what God is saying is, we can pray as big as we want. God can outdo that. Amen. Go to Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Most of us know this verse. But here talking to Christians, In Ephesians 3:20, God again reminds us that when He answers and He chooses to bless big, sometimes He'll choose to bless even bigger than we ask. Ephesians 3:20, now, unto Him that is able, so that's the key there, do we believe that He's able, to do exceeding abundantly above. Every one of us should be able to look back in our Christian lives and see times when God has answered exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Lord, I came to You and I asked for this and You went further. I came to You and asked You to resolve this. You went further. Exceeding abundantly above. That's what it says, right? Unto Him be glory in the church. So God is saying this about Himself. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. And then while we're in the New Testament, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Over to the left a little bit. Now I understand this is primarily talking about the future. But it's not only talking about the future, it's also talking about now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Look what it says. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The things. The things. We just read in Jeremiah 33:3, great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. The things. In other words, of course, we all understand this primarily saying heaven's going to be better than we can imagine. Hallelujah. We can imagine it's going to be so fantastic, it's going to be better than that. We can't even, as it says, it hasn't even entered into our heart how good it's going to be. But I believe even here on earth, God says, call, and I will answer, and I'll show you great and mighty things, sometimes mightier and greater than you can imagine, which thou knowest not. In the midst of their short time of chastisement, God reaches out to Israel and says, I'm not finished with you. I'm still here. I still care. And I want you to get right with Me. And I want you to not be afraid to pray big. And I believe God says the same to you and I, because we are children of the King, the infinitely powerful King of the universe. And He says to us as well, Jesus came to earth and said the same thing, ask and you shall receive. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. God says, call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So either we're not asking big, because I think that God, you know, it does glorify Him when we ask big, but I think the opposite is true as well. It's almost an insult when we always ask small. Because what we're saying is, well, you know, I don't want to bother You, God, because You really aren't, you know, You don't want to be bothered with my problems, which the Bible says that nothing could be further from the truth. Or, I really can't ask that big because You really can't answer that big. But that's, again, that's kind of an insult to God's power, isn't it? Because He tells us over and over again, ask big. Don't be afraid. Great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So, we should take encouragement from that. And this great promise is for you and me, as children of the King, call. It all starts with call. The rest, did you notice the rest is what He does? The only part that we participate in is the calling. He's the one that answers. He's the one that shows great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So maybe we need to revamp our prayer lives. Amen. Start praying big and watching God do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think and provide those great and mighty things. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we